This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hard to Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bonneville Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, the Ministry of Tourism, the National Insurance Board, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors.
Foundation.
Foundation. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a glorious Wednesday afternoon, live and in full effect. Still dry out there. I'm hoping for some rain. Not that kind of a crazy rain that we can't do anything on the weekends, but enough rain to sort of dampen the ground. I think it's mad dry right now. I'm seeing fires now in Grand Bahama, right? In West Nassau, with the eruption that we saw from the scrapyard, so forth and so on. It's a lot. It's a lot that we're dealing with right now, and we just got to be able to kind of cross our fingers and hope for some rain real soon. If you're anything like me, my lawn's brown now, so we got to be able to do something about that and be able to get some stuff done. Guys, it's a beautiful day. I just want to be able to say that to you. I hope that you pick up your Guardian newspaper and see exactly what's what. Not in our backyard. All the information's in there. I'm going to tell you a little story that I remember about this and how things happen in this particular country. I want to talk about these things, guys. Before we do that, I want to be able to shout out to Epic Battery. Epic Battery. Eptic. Eptic. That's what you say. Eptic, right? I want to shout out to Epic Battery for being able to be a sponsor for us. I'm very, very grateful for you guys really being able to look to do some great stuff with you. Guys, you know exactly where Epic is. It's on Fire Trail Road. It's also on Wolf Road. You can be able to get access to all your batteries and tires and everything that you need in that particular space. They are excellent. Always being able to go down to them and get service. They know. And you know what the beauty is that they have a variation of batteries. I've been getting Epic batteries now for the past, I want to say, 20 years. In Grand Bahama and here in Nassau also, I've been doing that for a very long time. So I'm grateful that they joined on and came on board, so forth and so on. It's always reliable. Customer service is always great. It's easy and accessible. They're on Fire Trail Road. The northern side of Fire Trail Road, just when you get in, just before you get to that small plaza, onto the right-hand side right there, if you're headed west, on the left-hand side if you're headed east. They are there, always willing and ready to serve for you. At the intersection, just before you hit the light on Mackey Street, right? Mackey and Wolf Road, it is maybe two stores down on the northern side, which is the left-hand side if you're headed east. All right, so go and check out Epic Battery. They got everything available for you. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at Da Vinci's Printers and Innovators. They got everything laid out for you. If you're in that space, you get your ideas kind of crafted, you know, a rough sketch of the concept and idea that you want to be able to kind of put on paper. You need a professional presentation. You need to structure this accordingly and make sure that it pops. You got to go down there and check my good, decent people over at Da Vinci's Printing and Innovators. Check them out and they can be able to assist you greatly in this particular space. I'm always grateful that they're being able to do some stuff with us. Guys, all the way down from printing booklets, sealed envelopes, the top of your presentation, your graphics, your logos, whatever you need done, they can be able to do that for you. So go check them out, DaVinci Printing 242, DaVinciPrinting242.com. They can be able to assist you in that. And also, I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS, Insurance Agents and Brokers. They get everything laid out for you. Make sure you go in there if you're looking for insurance for your SDs, taxis, jitneys, liveries, your leggies, any of those things, your jet skis, whatever you're doing. If you're looking for sort of the insurance that you can be able to get in bulk, right? For more than one vehicle, for more than one transportation source, you want to be able to go down there and speak to my good, decent people. They can take care of you with in-house financing. They're open all the way up until Saturday. On Saturdays, they open on from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So don't fret. Don't fret. The money came through late on Friday. You needed to get the car insured. You got something to do on Monday. You can get that thing taken care of on Saturday and then go get a license on Monday. All right, so you can be able to do those things and get and take good care of them. Check them out at 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. I want to read a little taste of this stuff, guys. Pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. It says, not in our backyard. Not in our backyard. Residents push back at location for new hospital. Wildfires trigger power outages. Garth indicated to me that the power was out in Adelaide for some time as a result of the forest fire, right? So I'm hoping he swung by me last night. I'm hoping that there is restoration in that area at this particular time. I understand that vehicles are able to kind of travail the road at this time. They could pass. So I'm hoping that there's a restoration of power in those areas also, right? Let me just read a little taste of this and see exactly what's what it says. The Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Darvill and his team faced significant pushback last night at the government's plan to construct a new hospital off New Providence Highway near major residential areas, with residents who attended a town hall meeting at Stapleton School raising four key concerns. One, impact on property values. Two, noise. Three, noise pollution. Three, traffic. And four, the ultimate cause to taxpayers, right? It says that the hospital will be funded by $290 million concession or 20-year loan from China Export-Import Bank with the interest rate of about 2%. The faculty will be a women's and children's hospital, but it will provide other services as well. This is what Darvill told the gathering. I want to talk about this, just a little taste. I feel like governments are steadfast in their position. I feel like they are stiff-necked when it comes to us locals. I just want to say that. And I'm talking about the darker hue. And let's be decent. Please don't make this seem like it's a race issue. I'm going to watch me. Just watch me, okay? We have often seen, I'm from 8 Mile Rock. Texaco came to 8 Mile Rock when I was a child. And this is why I never really had faith in governments. Because, you know, when I was younger, there was a lot of pronouncements what the government would do in my small area, right? In my, in my urban area, in 8 Mile Rock. So the government made significant promises. We're going to fix the road. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We've not seen those things take place until after 1992. If I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, we saw none of this. We saw constant erosion, and we give, you know, sort of praise that, oh, well, thank God at least 100% of the road was in like horrible. We could at least swing to the right side when we come at like, that was the concept, an idea of how to be able to do things. If it got so bad, someone would throw cement in these holes that was in the road. This was late 80s. Okay? I'm telling you. Okay, now watch. Texaco decided to move to 8 Mile Rock. They found a piece of property. It was tied up against the Bartlett Hill Primary School. Right in the back on the northern side, right there by the Anglican Church Hall, all right? The parish hall. We call it the parish hall, right? Right there between the parish hall and Bartlett Hill School, Texaco decided to build. They pushed on the property. People were protesting. We don't want Texaco, my God. Y'all can blow up the church. Listen, this thing was tight against the school. if the wind blew in a northern direction and there was a classroom right there, the children had to leave class because that was the fumes. But no one took into consideration that Borco and the Lewis Yard Primary School and the effect that the smoke had and the effects that the long-term effects that had on these things. So government actually identified these things but never made rectification to it. They never modified these things. Now watch me. After all this relentless agitation, this speculation, this kind of a pushback, and to say to the government that we don't want this gas station in 8 Mile Rock right here, and guess what? Less than 300 feet away, 350 to 400 feet away, it's not that far, is a traditional down-home gas station that everybody knew and everybody goes to, which is Chappie's gas station. Okay? We used to go to Chappie, and then in the middle of 8 Mile Rock used to be T-Smint. Okay? After all this pushback, they still put Texaco there. Thank God there was no major issues over the years, but I'm simply saying to you that I watched that issue and I realized that governments are stiff-necked with locals, with the quote-unquote grassroots locals. Let's say it like that. Because this issue happened under the last administration in Spanish Wells. Do you remember? When the then Minister of Tourism, Minister de Aguilar, made a concrete decision. Oh my God, de Aguilar called me and fight me. It was a concrete decision that there was supposed to be a boat and the boat coming around and persons are going to be able to come out and visit I think it was Spanish Wells, so forth and so on. That day, bam, the residents had a town hall meeting. Many of us, if you remember, many of us looked in awe to see what's going to happen, to see whether or not the government is going to take this stiff neck approach to be able to do those things. Instantaneously, they turned the thing around right away. No one coming here, no one doing these things, no one doing that. So the question that I have for you, what consideration has the government given us of the darker hue in these strategic areas that could be considered urban areas, right? Or grassroots areas? What consideration has the government given to these four bullet points that you've given them? Noise pollution, right? As you start to talk about this kind of a noise pollution, the impact on the property value, the traffic, and the cost to the taxpayers, there is no consideration. None. And it's sad to see that a conglomerate could come around and still be able to speak truth to power and ask for some sort of an alleviation. And ask for a very clear understanding that we don't want this here. We want to be able to do this. And it's not going to happen. But I'd like to be able to hear from you your consideration of where it should be. Let's talk about this. Where is your consideration? Where should it be at this particular time? I have my own ideas. I want to talk about it. I want to talk to you guys about it. The line's going to be wide open today. I'm supposed to have Garth joining me today. I don't know if he will. He indicated to me that he was having some transportation issues. I'm not going to fight him. He said that his vehicle is not home. So we're going to be able to see if he comes. I'm grateful to always have him. But if he doesn't, you know, we're still here. Please give me a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back after this.
The foundation.
Hey, A11 body. Why you ain't tell me?
You only has come to talk. Who tell you anyway?
Don't worry about that. Rings? From Popeyes?
Yeah, man. Popeyes have 5 flavors of wings now. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan.
Anyway, while I'm here, I might as well try one.
You better head to Popeyes and grab a box.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
You try the rest, go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Explore the wonders of the Bahamas at Sun, Sand, and Souvenirs. Brought to you by Tourism Development Corporation. This 8-store retail treasure chest is located on Bay Street, just 2 doors east of Bayside Food Store. Build a pal with your child. Purchase authentic Bahamian artwork or dazzling jewelry. It's a shopping adventure where the possibilities are endless. We're open 7 days a week, so join us today and let's create a community where innovation and opportunity thrive. See you there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. I just want to ask you as to whether or not to test the barometer of our strength as a community, to test the barometer of our strength as a society, right? The collective, whether or not we have a say in this space, or are we merely relegated to that one time with every 5-year dispensation that we are acknowledged during a time of election? But when it comes to serious decisions that could affect our comfort, our livelihood, our position, our investment, are we even taken serious? Talk to me about it. 323-6232-3253-316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Is that a caller? Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard, it pertains to this issue with the hospital. I live just off that highway. I'm just north of that highway in an area that's called Vista Marina. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Chipping Arm area, but anytime you're driving along that highway, if you're heading north on that highway and you leave the traffic light behind you, you're heading towards Sanders Beach. If you look on both sides of the road, you will see these ditches. Now, if you take that highway as a boundary and you take the road, if you know where Bash is located, which I think is called Providence Avenue, you also take that as a boundary as well. I knew as a child there are literally hundreds of those ditches in between that space. You also take into consideration the area when you pass national security. Anytime you pass a national security heading towards the airport, If you look in that bushy area, you will see remnants of what used to be windmills. Mm-hmm. Well, you take in that entire area. At one time, that area actually supplied the entire city of Nassau with water. You're talking hundreds of years ago. And people don't realize that that's a very important water lens in that area. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of years ago, when they established Nassau as a capital, a lot of people don't realize this. But two main reasons why they chose Nassau as the capital is because Nassau had an abundant supply of fresh water, mm-hmm. and also because we had a protective harbor. We have to be very careful with our water resources. That's all I have to say. Mm-hmm. That area that they're talking about putting that hospital, like I said, we have to be very careful. Water is a precious commodity. There are only four islands where you have an abundant supply of fresh water, and it's Nassau, Abaco, Freeport, and Andrus. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make people aware of that. That's a very important freshwater lens that sits in that area. Like I said, I grew up in Chippenham, and I know about that area. I would roam in the back there. Many a summers I would spend in the back there, but I'm one who is very much against that hospital going there, primarily because of that same reason, because it's an abundant supply of fresh water still in that area.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call, guys. The lines are wide open if you want to be able to participate. As a Grand Bahamian who observes and understands exactly what living in Nassau, I'm sure that you can give me my card now. Yeah. I am an official resident of Nassau now. I ain't getting back to Grandmama. Don't fight me. Not now. All right. And maybe I could do like a lot of persons and retire to Grand Bahama. That'll be cool. But as a person who actually lives in this city, and understands the flow. See, people who visit the city don't understand traffic. They don't understand, like, I would have people come, come drop me down here real quick. And then, like, my mother, when she comes, and she should know better than this, right? I think she'd just be testing me, right? So she's been coming to Nassau for years for Parliament. She understands the traffic. She needs to stop, right? Come hurry up, drop me down the road, and I'm coming right back. I said, Mommy, listen to me. If you leave anywhere after 11:30 to hurry up, get back, it's not going to happen. That's not how traffic works in Nassau. We know the time points in Nassau. We know the 3 o'clock traffic. We know the 5 o'clock traffic. We know the 7 a.m. to 9:35 traffic. We know these things. And we know the rhythm of the city. You have to understand this. And so I want to be able to understand whether or not significant consideration was given to this particular location, right? As we read the story, we can be able to see these things, right? And we dive deeper into the story and see exactly what you can be able to do that. Let's read it together, right? So it says, it was a state-of-the-art hospital would be it's a state-of-the-art hospital, but the neonatal intensive care unit, and it will offer the same-day surgeries and minor procedures and Diagnostic International and the flood-prone sites, right? Now, listen, let's talk about this. I want to talk about these particular things. I want to talk about, because the gentleman brought up a very good point as it relates to flood zones, as it relates to these particular positions and being able to identify exactly what's what. I want to be as decent as possible when we talk about that. Has any consideration been given to those things? I've seen the trenches, and I don't know whether or not that's as a result of fresh water. I've always assumed, as a result of the fact that this is fairly a new highway being able to be built in that space, that it was to be able to assist with floods, to be able to move water. Because I've seen the same concept and idea when I was in Cuba, right? When I was in Cuba, they had these big trenches on the side of the road. It had to do with flowing and water floods. So I want to talk about it. I want to talk with clarity that do we trust our governments enough to make the right decision for the growth and development of our people? Because this isn't the first time that the government has come to the forefront and being able to say that we're doing these things. Most recently, we've seen the Prime Minister being able to speak to the Bend or Break speech. And the Bend or Break speech that happened in 1969 in Freeport, Grand Bahama, with the opening of Barco, spoke to the prospect of transparent inclusion, real inclusion, not this kind of a fictitious concept where you're merely being able to give a black face an opportunity, but really real inclusion, that actually embody the concept and idea of Bahamianization. And in the midst of being able to open up Borco, years later, we can see that it was a poor idea. Years later, if you look at the Pindus Point area, if you look at the Lewis Yard area, if you look at the schools that were open and closed in those particular areas, including Catholic High, if you look at Hawkesbill High, if you look at the infant mortality that came from this particular space, if you look at the amount of persons that have cancer in those particular spaces, if you look at those particular persons in Pindus Point who are on the spectrum, there are communities of persons on the spectrum. But in 1969, this was a wonderful opportunity. This is a great concept and a great idea. Now, I'm not comparing apples to oranges. I'm merely saying that governments in their time, in their position, with their mindset and this determination to do what they must for productivity and being able to have a tick in the column of progression and leading to their legacy, governments do what is necessary at the time, not giving thought to the concepts into the future. Nassau is too small for the lack of vision for the city. I just won't be decent as I say this. The concept that Hubert Ingraham had in terms of expansion of all the roads and expansion in these particular areas was wonderful, but it all leads to a bottleneck. There are no overpasses. There's nothing to do with the city as it relates to being able to have access and doing what we have to do to move about the city accordingly. NASA is also plagued with this concept and idea of we don't know who property this is. We don't know this. We don't know that. You're infringing on people's rights. The government could be able to tap into eminent domain, so forth, and so many things could happen. But is it going to lead to productivity for the city? Is there a vision that was cast to say that this is the right thing to do? They've recently had, right here on University Boulevard, right, which was Thompson Boulevard, University Drive, University Boulevard, they have recently, right across the street from Customs, relocated the accident emergency vehicles. That's where they are. Now, I don't know whether or not that is a hub that they're distributed from or whether or not this is where they sort of a rest area. But I've been there and I've watched the cars move from there. I thought to myself, this could be a good move. Keep everything centrally located, being able to have access to all of the free-flowing traffic and all the arteries of the city running from this particular spot. We have to ask more questions as to whether or not this is a concept that was cast and say, this is why we think this is the best space. Let's talk about it, guys. Please give me a call, 323, call on the line, no, 323-622-3225-4316-325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796. What about the Prospect Ridge concept, right? You still want to put residential stuff in that. What about on the outskirts? Is that too far? Is that too far in the areas of Adelaide, in the areas of Frank Watson Highway? Is it too far? Let's talk about these things. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Grant, how are you?
I'm good, man.
I'm good.
What's happened with you?
Good morning to you. Good morning to the nation. Mr. Grant, I made a comment earlier on one of your earlier shows with respect to this hospital to do. And I thought that a perfect place to put it would be that vast amount of land we have on the opposite side of City Battle down there on East Street South. And reason being because you have a police station not far from it. You know, people go to the hospital when certain things happen.
So this South Beach.
Do a lot of stupidness.
You mean South Beach?
You have a police station close to it. You have, it centers the east and it centers the west, okay? And on the south side of it, there's nowhere else to go but the water. Some other caller made a comment that it floods in the back there. Okay, we have six-story buildings that float on water in China. you know, and we're getting the loan from the Chinese, so obviously they would probably be the ones spilling it. You're right there at the water. You build your proper infrastructure where you have any flooding. You have your water that would run in, you know, drains that would run right back to the sea, because the only thing south of it would be the sea, you know, so it doesn't interfere with anything going south, you know. And like I said, it centers the west and it centers the east. Carmichael Road, where the city's 2,000, where the majority of the people are in any event, you can get to it quickly and everything. So I don't see, you know, if you're talking about interfering with people's property, and if you're talking about flood zones and all these other things, everywhere you go in Nassau right now, you find after a certain amount of heavy rain, you'll find a little bit of flooding. But it gives you an opportunity to put proper drainage in place, whereas if you do have any kind of flooding of that nature, it runs in the drainage back to the sea and everything, and you're really not interfering with much of anything. It's a vast amount of land that's in the back there. It just sits there and everything. I think it's a perfect place to put a hospital, you know. So I don't know. That's my take on that.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Has there been any consideration for the fact that hospitals cater to both locals and internationals? I mean, if this is going to be the main space, right? Let's talk about this. Now, they indicated that this particular facility would be focused on women and children, right? Let's read it. It started to talk about the New Providence Highway. It said it's going to be focused on women and children. The facility will be Women's and Children's Hospital, but it will provide other services as well, right? Now, if it's a women's and children's hospital that we're going to be putting in the middle of South Beach, I don't know. I'm not going to fight you. But I'm thinking along the East-West corridor, which is a representation of both the center of the city. So being able to go over. That's what I'm thinking. That's just, yeah. My mind has worked different. Y'all don't fight me. I like to have conversations with y'all, and sometimes I'd like you to be able to let me drift in my head. If I talk in foolishness, pull me back. I believe that they should destroy the hospital, the Princess Margaret Hospital. I believe that they can identify someone to spend less than 7.5% of that $290 million to destroy the hospital, excavate it, take it out, move it entirely. Have a floating barge, floating hospital for the space of 2 years. Make significant modifications to ensure that you could accommodate all those persons in this space just for that short period of time. Short period of time. It's not going to take away anything. You could create a space to be able to do that. Boom. Once you do that. When you do that, you build it back and you build it strong. You go up 6 flights. You do whatever you have to do. And you got location, you got historical value, you have access, both locals and internationals. You have all of these particular things right in the same spot. All you have to do is make modifications, destroy it, and come back. If we're going to start to have a conversation about these particular things, I think it needs to be well fleshed out. I think sometimes we could drift about the possibilities that could exist in this particular space, but we've been crying for a very long time for a hospital. We've been crying for a very long time, and this has been identified as one incremental step towards that idea, that dream, that vision, that goal. Now, we don't know whether or not this Women's and Children's Hospital will be able to be sufficient for the expansion and growth of the city. I want to talk like that. Guys, this is an open line, so you can let me say this also. Last week, I started to have a conversation about the fact that the boom that we've seen in the country is as a result of illegal migrants. And I got several calls on that. But more notably, there was a caller that called me and said, "Howard, I think this is inaccurate information that you're providing. The statistical information indicates that this is inaccurate. And in fact, that we've seen a significant decline in the population since then. And so I said, okay, no problem. I can do my research. And I did just that. Mia Motley, in a speech, spoke about Belize, Bermuda, and the Bahamas. You can type it up. Mia Motley speaks about population explosion in the Bahamas and Belize. It'll pop right up. It's a very quick speech. She gave inaccurate numbers, but the concept was consistent. And her concept and ideas indicated that Belize, the Bahamas, and Bermuda were roughly or basically on the same population trajectory. We had the same amount of persons. And over the course of time, as a result of some things, you've seen significant expansion in Belize and Bahamas, but not necessarily Bermuda. Now, I did my research on that, and I told my people, I said to them, I said, yes, I'm going to do research. Don't fight me. If I have any issues, if I fall or pitfalls, I'm coming to you to find out. Let's do this. Today's Wednesday. It's an open line. It's a conversation that we're going to be able to have because we're talking about a hospital. We're talking about our women's and children hospital more specifically. So I'm thinking OBGYN. I'm thinking issues that you have with your baby. I'm thinking a maternity ward. I'm thinking all these particular things. And whilst I think about that, and then I think, what about this is going to be a heavy area because we're catering to a lot of foreigners in this space also. Oh my God, let's just be decent. So I did my studies and did my research, and I feel like I'm all over the place, but this popped in my mind just now, so I have to do this. I did my studies, I did my research, and then we start to talk about the Caribbean migration dynamics. Right? And then it started to talk about the historical impact and cultural eradication of these things, indigenous population, and initial impact. The European arrival of the Caribbean was devastating to indigenous populations like the Lucayans, the Tinos, the Caribbean, the disease and slave. Now, let me tell you why I did this. I did this because I needed to know from a historic standpoint whether or not there was any shifting. I needed to know whether or not in the next 20 years we will be able to identify the Bahamians that we see today, right? To the Cartwrights that we could see, to the Rolls that we could see, to the Fergusons that we could see, to the Farquharsons that we could see, to McKinsey's and all these other persons that have Bahamian names that we can identify and identify their traits. There was a time in history when you didn't look the same. As a result of modification, your features changed. So I wanted to find out more. I wanted to find out about the African influence. I wanted to find out about the colonial, post-colonial transformations. I wanted to find out about the modern cultural dynamics. And I realized something. As a result of neighboring environments, one of these days we can stretch this show out a lot far and wide for you. As a result of neighboring environments that had treacherous issues and civil wars and other issues and people were looking to move away, they moved off to places like the Bahamas and Belize. And that caused a significant population spike over the course of decades. This is what my studies tell me. Same internet everybody else has used. And so when persons call, when we have a conversation and people are saying to me, we don't have a significant spike over the course of the last 50, 60 years in the country as a result of the incorporation or the inclusion of illegal migrants, I find that hard to believe. Because none of the statistical data and information, I'm not talking about data and information that you acquire online, I'm talking about history, historic aspects. If we look at it from a historic aspect, we can see that we've been modified significantly. Don't fight me. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this with decency and in order. All of these things tie in because our governments now are catering to a specific sector and subsector, but not being able to focus on these persons. And you start to talk, if people are saying to you, hey, listen, I want you to consider the fact that maybe my property value will decrease significantly by noise pollution, so forth and so on. There should be consideration given by the government. I want to talk about it a little bit more when we get back, guys. Please be a part of the conversation. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back. after this.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is your Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
What can make you happy and angry at the same time? The Angry Whopper and new Angry Chicken Sandwich. At Get Angry and take on the flavor sensation of BK's signature flame grilled beef, spicy jalapenos, bacon, classic onion rings, cheese, fresh veggies, and all the fixings you love. Or try the new Angry Chicken with the same delicious on a crispy chicken breast patty. Take your taste buds to the next level with the Angry Whopper and Angry Chicken today. Only at Burger King Nassau.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Great Commissions Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commission through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, Ford Storehouse at 325-5801 for further information or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company. We are open line today. I got a couple of texts that had nothing to do with what we're talking about in the front of the papers as it relates to this. Should I read this text? It's mad political. Should I read the text? I mean, come on. You know, it's talking about the Free National Movement and their posture and position and what our expectations can be going forward. Right. Today, we just wanted to kind of open up the lines to you guys. The lines are wide open if you want to be able to have a good conversation with us. We're talking about this town hall meeting that was held last evening. And the Minister of Health and Wellness, you know, he got some pushback from locals who indicated, including one of the locals who said that she works within the healthcare sector. And says, she's extremely enthusiastic about these concepts and ideas about, you know, forward movement about this, I'm concerned about the fact that it's in my backyard, right? The fact that your home is one of the major investments that any person who's come climbing out of the proverbial poverty by their bootstraps, with education, with determination, with focus, with being able to push themselves and their family with sacrifice, and you've identified these areas that were highfalutin areas, can I say this, right? That you've identified to, if not upper class, upper middle class, that is gradually moving towards this and viewed in a particular light, right? The decision that you've made to purchase this home was not just merely because this is all you could afford. You looked around, you said, this is an affluent area. I love this area. I think my kids could grow up good. I don't think there's going to be a bunch of guys fixing cars around the yard, so forth and so on. I think these persons in this area take care of themselves. And here comes an introduction of some 15 years later, a hospital in your backyard. This ain't easy to digest. The government has to take this into consideration. Government has their responsibility. Political organizations have their responsibility. And every one of us, right, whether we are participant in the political process or not, we want to take care of our own space. I just want to be decent as I say this. Purchasing a home is not an easy thing. Where you put that home is not an easy thing. People are hurting and doing their best to ensure that they can safeguard the future of their family. And one of the major things, let me tell you something. I'm grateful. It took me weeks of riding around Nassau like an idiot just to look for a space that reminded me of the serenity and the peace that I come from. A space that I could afford that wasn't like astronomical, but a space that I knew that would provide the security and safety that my family deserved, that I require for my family when I first came to Nassau. I ride up and down, I ride through every one of you. That's how you ask me, how do you know what it is? What you mean? I've been riding up and down in Nassau for weeks. This is before my family moved over. I brought my car over on the boat and I rode up and I drove up and down and I saw this place. It was very quiet. And you know, I told you, I'm very prayerful. I said, Lord, I want a nice little place, little quiet place. I want a town home. This is what I said to the Father. I said, I want a town home, Lord. I don't know these people in Nassau. I don't know what kind of darkness they're into. I want a brand new one, Jesus. I don't want nobody ever moving there. Lord, if you could give me a little pool, I wouldn't be mad at you, Jesus. This the conversation that me and him had as I was in my vehicle. I drive to everybody corner. Then I ended up out in, out west. Very quiet, right? I keep drifting through this area different times. So I go in the morning, I feel out the traffic. I go in the afternoon, I see the environment. I go in the evening, I just try to check it out if people are moving around. I did this and I chose to look for a location in the Coral Lakes area, Coral Harbor, Coral Lakes area. I finally found one. Got in that area. Drove through, walked up to this place, and some guys, foreign guys. Let's just be very clear with this. We're building on the inside. So I say we're boss man, right? I think this is just the language that we use. We're boss man. Boss man not here. Okay, no problem. Give me the number. I called him. We made arrangement. This place wasn't even built yet. I gave him the money. When you think about the security of your family, you think about all of these things. When persons, especially who come from an educational background, have to consider what are going to be the implications of having this type of facility around my space. Whilst you indicate, Mr. Minister, he says absolutely that there will be significant property increase. That's what he says. Let's read it. So he says, the main concerns from my perspective, this is one of the persons in the audience, right? He said, one of the main concerns of my perspective is that our property is the value of our property. The traffic along there and the noise, this is what Kevin Leach said. He's a 32-year-old resident of the area. And as the audience applauded him, Leach, Darvill acknowledged him. And there are three important questions. This is what Darvill indicated, Dr. Darvill. He says, there are three important questions. The first question is an economic impact of the facility as to have the real estate in close proximity. The real estate will go up. There's no question about it. This is what he indicated. Real estate will go up. There's no question about it. The value of your asset will go up. The second question, as it relates to the noise pollution and the traffic, I live in the east. I go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. I get up. I say I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get to work for 9 o'clock. So everywhere in Nassau is filled with traffic. We need an overpass. I think this is deflection. I just want to be as decent as possible as I say that. We need an overpass in New Providence. And we have to work towards that because the traffic is an issue. Now, as far as our EMT services are concerned, our EMT services must be very sensitive to noise pollution, as well as the sirens from our police officers. We have to come up with a strategy in our country. This is deflection. You haven't answered any of the questions as yet. Any of the questions. Right? He said, and look at what the other countries have done to mitigate against the managing noise pollution. And then he said he also, the traffic team is examining the best to ensure that the traffic flows effectively. Leach responded that Darvill failed to properly address the concerns. Guys, the lines are wide open. Please just join me in conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me at 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. You on the line with this line? Go ahead, caller. Next caller. Caller on the line with this live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Hey, my brother. What's up?
Yeah, don't fight me, all right?
I ain't going to fight you.
Hey, listen, man, you some brethren.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pray for God for things like that, you know. I just pray for the health and the strength and the guidance still, you know. Most of us, I ain't knocking you for that, but I want you to live long still. Are you an idealist?
I think I am.
You are? All right. But,
I'm okay with it.
Well, but you know, it's impossible for things of life to be in perfection, right?
I don't believe...
The only way life could become in perfection if everybody know the same thing. And everybody is sharing knowledge and wisdom and sharing love.
I don't believe that we could acquire perfection.
Yes,
I believe the pursuit of perfection is where we get better as human beings.
But it's madness, Howard.
You think it is?
I share this with you, right? I don't know if you... hello?
Are you right here?
Yeah, Howard, this phone dropped on my hand. You read philosophy? Do you read philosophy?
Sometimes.
All right. There's a part that's called democracy and tyranny, right? And there's also one that calls compliance and tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
We have to juxtapose these things together, okay? Most people have no idea why these things are so important. But I'll just let me put this in first. As it relates to Dr. Darvill's statement, I noticed that the new hospital and the medical marijuana legislation, right? The problem I have with the marijuana legislation, I noticed you talk about transportation and there's a lot of bureaucracy in there that is designed to impede, like, financial gain from this particular substance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I would like for him to do, given the fact that my father was given a non-steroidal Motrin, and he should never have been given it by a smart, dumb doctor at a particular hospital who really, really should have known better. But the mistake was compounded by the fact that the pharmacist dispensed the Motrin to my father, even though he was wearing a defibrillator and he had a heart problem. Richard, it should warning should be on the label. So as it relates to medicinable cannabis, right? Seeing that, I don't know if he's ever smoked weed, you know, but I have. And I know it gives you heart palpitations. And so recent studies that show that people with heart conditions should not be given marijuana unless they can calculate the micrograms, whatever they can put. You see what I'm saying? So they need to do medicine. I'm telling you, Howard, marijuana causes heart palpitations, okay?
Mm.
It speeds up your heart. So I just hope they would bear that in mind in their mindless agenda. Anyhow, they don't even, you know, marijuana has about 400 chemicals, constituents, I'm saying. I hope they bear that in mind, okay? Now, my problem is, as it relates to the healthcare system, is the fact that you have, that people talk about healthcare system, all kind of euphemism, right? But I am concerned that you must teach the public how to stay healthy. So our greatest step is to warn the public, enlighten the public about how to stay healthy. We're not doing that. Even the water that you're drinking, the reverse osmosis water, the water that you call pure water that you're given is not good for you. It's better than nothing, but it's you have to understand, we are all up against too many things. We are not being informed. So you have to avoid people from going to the hospital before you start to talk about building hospitals. I agree with the gastroenterologist also, and having the medical staff in place in order to facilitate these things. So this is, we up against a losing battle. So I see the people say they have a concern about where the hospital is. But personally, like me, I'm not, I mean, you know, that's a concern for them. But me personally, this place is not my home. This planet, this earth that I'm living on, is an outdoor prison because of technology. And most of us don't realize that. So back to democracy and tyranny. Most people was not following the global agenda enough. So as time move on, we are being socially engineered to embrace technology, which will enslave us, which will lead to tyranny and global governance, because this is what they want. You should know by now, as you are well read, that the design of the United Nations is to get rid of nation and sovereignty and border states and nationalism. I don't need no one to tell me this. They will do it. They have been doing it incrementally to democracy. And then you will get everybody comfortable, and then you would come in with your global governance by creating global dilemmas that requires global governance. They would scare the public with pandemics, climate change, pollution, droughts, AI, all type of foolishness. The reason they're telling you AI will kill you is because they're programming it to do so. You can't be that naive in our minds to believe that AI being autonomous means that, oh, the AI did this, it's an autonomous robot, it went berserk and way. But me having worked in the technical field around boilers and programmable programmers before people knew what they were, I knew that if God made something and I'm not perfect, how then can a fool like man make something that's perfect? So then the fool that's suing Elon Musk, talking about he closed his eye and he let go the wheel and he let the car, man, he's a fool, okay? God come first. Being perfect, you want AI to be perfect? Then let me finish this off with this. Weather conditions, moisture, etc., can affect electronics. I'll leave it at that. You do the maths, okay? Now, you put trust in man and their technology and idealism. Idealism with God Almighty, okay? Bless up.
I appreciate you, man. My idealistic approach is not necessarily the empowerment from a technological standpoint, but being able to look at all elements in identifying which will be the best for us to be able to get to an objective. I think it has to start with an objective. I think that's where a great deal of us differ. There isn't a social overarching objective that all of us can identify and move towards that. I think we sing about it, marching on, march on Bahama land. I think that we sing about a path, a pursuit, but we never identify the goal that we're looking towards. Now, if we as a society sing that, okay, there is a goal, and I think for the most part, all of us accept the fact that this country is moving towards that. In China, for instance, there is a 100-year marathon. Okay? Every dispensation, when you pop out of the womb, you are identified and equipped with the legacy that is being passed on to you. And your responsibility from this juncture forward is being able to develop that. That's it. You have a responsibility. Once you are part of this, you have a responsibility to develop from this. No one likes to talk like this. No one likes to talk like this. Our history as Black people have been stripped from us. Our history has been taken. Our name has been taken from us. We have been villainized, chastised as a result of being able to pursue education in the midst of captivity. And now, post-captivity, in this quote-unquote liberal space where there is independence, where there is opportunity, where there is growth, so forth and so on, we still don't have identity. As a Black government who've come from this brokenness, they haven't given any identity to the cause that is the Bahamas. That is why there is a contrast between relentlessly genuflecting to a legacy. Man, come on, I can get deep with y'all today. I can just do it. I can have to do it. The reason why we relentlessly genuflect to this concept and idea of a lighter hue person coming into our country with a presumed briefcase with nothing in it and a necktie and being able to access, because the genuflection is not to what could possibly be in the briefcase, but what this man carries as it relates to legacy. They know their forefathers. They know where they've come from. Their forefathers have already told them this is how you do this. They know how to execute these things accordingly. We had to pursue education, separate ourselves from our family to pour that education into the next generation of our children. Come on, I can get deep with you all right now. We don't have an overarching objective as a society to say that this is the goal for the Bahamas. If you come up with a 40-year plan and you say this is the goal for the Bahamas, from a political standpoint, they pull it to shreds. It stopped, reviewed, and canceled every single time. We don't have a goal. And so the only thing that we know is that being able to create a goal for ourselves and our families. I live in 8 Mile Rock. I live on generational property in 8 Mile Rock. The two sides of the road belong to us in 8 Mile Rock. My great-great-grandfather, he had this. In 8 Mile Rock, every one of us at 8 Mile Rock have our own property. No matter where we are in the world right now, if you are Grant Smith Hepburn, you got your space in 8 Mile Rock right now. You're our family. The same thing in Turks and Caicos. I left 8 Mile Rock and pursued my own property because what I wanted to pour into my children, my environment wouldn't allow me to do it. My Grammy wanted to tell my children what she told me. And I, you know, in retrospect, I understand that Grammy shouldn't have said these things, so I don't put something different in my children. Big row, this is a problem. My mother wants to say to my children what I don't necessarily believe in. With education and understanding, all these things are happening. I just want to make a point to you. We separate ourselves and look for a piece of property in Stapleton Gardens. We separate ourselves through education. We work our fingers to the bones and being able to look for something for ourselves. And now the governments are coming in and being able to almost take on a position of eminent domain and say that we're going to do this. No matter how you feel about this, we're going to do this. Don't worry about that. Your property can be okay. Don't worry about that. We're going to deal with the noise pollution some kind of how. Don't worry about all those things, but we've already decided. Read the article. The next conversation from this point on is going to be the Ministry of Environment. The Ministry of Environment is going to be able to give you the environmental assessment impact assessment and be able to make a determination as to whether or not we go forward. Once they tell us we're going forward, we get 30 to 36 months, we can deal with it. This is a done deal. The Bahamian people are saying, have you considered the fact that this is my slice of the pie? That you're infringing on the peace that I have after I have to get up and contribute to society. I want peace. You're not giving me my peace, and you're not providing me any reciprocity of the investment that I made for myself and my family. That's all this conversation is, man. My idealism has nothing to do with the empowerment from a technological standpoint. The idealism is being able to look at all the elements and seeing whether or not these things can help us to get to a greater objective. I know what my objective is. The question is, do we collectively have an objective as society? Next telephone call, go ahead. Call on the line, go ahead.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Anton? What's up, then?
Hey, Howard. Howard.
What you say?
How you doing, man?
All is well, man.
Boy, I tuned in very late. I was late, quite a bit dealing with some other stuff. But, look, yeah, I like this rhythm what you want right now. And even though I tuned in late, I want to contribute to this rhythm because it is so important, Howard. Just three quick points, Howard. Please. You know, Howard, I listened to Dwight's show this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the conversation that went back and forward with the callers on the town hall meeting last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the Ministry of Health and Dr. Dowell and speaking on the upcoming specialty hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to, I think her name was Dr. E. Who came on, and she made some very sound observations, right? And I'm listening to you. You also just made some very sound observations when you talk about the 40-year plan or whatever. And you know how I've been talking about this for about 15, 20 years. We are missing a national urban development plan in addition to a national plan in our country, right? Howard, we are topsy-turvy in this country. It is just where you put me in terms of making up the rules as we go along as a society, in terms of how we set out and how we plan what is going where throughout our country, Howard. We are still topsy-turvy in 2024. That's a crying out, and I don't want to say crying out, Howard, right? I really want to say something else. But that's a real shame. That's point number one, Howard, right? We need a national urban development plan. You understand what I'm saying, you always?
I agree with you.
That plan will isolate.
But urban development is a separation between a national plan, and then you're saying that we need a national inner city plan.
Absolutely.
The urban,
yeah.
Urban development.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We
okay.
need one to lay out where what is going to go well, and then we need a national development plan that we will follow along, and each government will be held accountable to, right? And that national development plan, Howard, that has to be a bottom-up plan. If it is not a bottom-up plan, Howard, the status quo will get their grimy hands in there, and they will choke the living daylights or whatever economic life is left in our present and certainly into the future. So it has to be a bottom-up national development plan from the people. You understand what I'm saying to you, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
If it is not, Howard, we will still not see the benefits of following a national development plan because those who are the hubs will continue to gravitate and grab all that exists in the present and in the future. So it has to be a bottom-up national development plan. That is critical. That's point number two, Howard. I listened to the conversations last night at the town hall meeting, which I had to attend, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the residents made some very strong points, right? And if such a facility were going in my neck of the woods, I may share some of the same concerns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Howard, one of the biggest problems that came out of that meeting last night was availability of land, Howard. Dr. Dowell pointed out that we need 50 acres of land in order to facilitate such a specialty hospital that the government is envisioning right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the cost of $290 million. He also pointed out, which one of the learned residents asked, if the $290 would include furnishing out the facility,
mm-hmm.
which he said, yes, $290 million would include building and furnishing out, which would be another major expenditure if it wasn't included in this building, right? Mm-hmm. But Howard, the government is in a lock right now because it doesn't have access to government-owned land, 50 acres of government-owned land, where it can actually decide what is the best place for such a hospital facility to go. The government does not enjoy that luxury to make that determination, Howard. So they are directed based upon availability of 50 acres of government land where they can go, except they decide to exercise eminent domain, which is not a good practice. Right, Howard?
Right.
It destroys a lot of behemoth dreams in the process, and those sides of the stories are never told. They are always overshadowed by what is seen to be in the national interest. That's another side of the conversation. If government goes there, that needs to be highlighted, but only the media can highlight that, the dreams that are killed and that are crushed. But Howard, the last point on the same point that I'm on, we have such a serious problem in our country as it relates to land, Howard. If we conducted, if the Davis administration conducts a land study to see who owns what land and where, then we would really begin to understand how wrapped up the advancement and further development of our country is in certain hands of the people who own the land in the country. Howard, they will dictate and determine the pace and the rate at which our country continues to advance and at which our country continues to develop. That's a serious problem, Howard.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll rest right there, Howard. But look here, we need a change in mindset and government, and it can't only be from the top. It has to be from the top to the bottom. They all need to be on one page, operating with the best interest and demonstrating that, not just talking that,
yeah.
Demonstrating that with the best interest of the Bahamian people at heart, because we have had majority rule for a long time now. We do not have majority economic rule in this country, and that's where it's really at. Thank you for the opportunity, Albert. Continue the good work, my brother. God bless.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you, telephone call. I won't be decent with you as I say this. The issue that we're having, the issue that we continue to be able to bump heads with, okay? Let's just be clear about what's happening in our country, okay? You get education. You go off to school, or you go to the University of the Bahamas, College of the Bahamas. You acquire your education. You develop yourself. You put on your cap and gown. You're excited about the fact that no one in the house that I come from, no one in my family has ever made this significant step. Through education and reading exposure, you'll be able to tap into a different relationship. You realize that you relentlessly want the concept and idea of iron sharpening iron. You don't want to be around a mindset that's degrading and pulling you down because you've moved on from that. You're maturing, you're developing at this particular point, right? Be ye transformed. Education does that also. Be ye transformed in your thinking. Okay, so now your transformation of thinking, you've decided to move from the inner city area and invest in yourself and invest in your future and get a house. Now, this house costs you a hell of a lot of money, but you realize that this is going to change the trajectory and maybe the name that was stripped from your child, the name that you never understood, the name that your mommy never gave you any understanding of. Through education, you understood yourself a little bit more. Now I got to give that education to my children. But I got to create an environment that this child, we could be able to retain this education, right? That's what the concept is. I create a home that what I'm pouring into my child won't seep out by other persons coming in and being able to lend their confused position. Okay, this is what's happening. Governments didn't take that into consideration when they seek to be able to do this. To have a conversation about the need for 50 acres of land to be able to do this says to me that you're not even looking from a global standpoint. That in China, no matter the acres and acres and millions of acres that they have, the concentration of what they've done as being able to go up, 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 up. You haven't considered these things. You haven't considered going up. Maybe your consideration is hurricanes and so forth and so on, but you have yet, as a result of lack of vision to come up with a concept that can truly be a marvel in this region by being able to create a space, an important opportunity for architects far and wide in the country, in the diaspora, to come up with concept and ideas that they could be able to lend to you for a 10, 15-story building that could be able to be resilient and win resistance. Come on, this is how you involve and empower people. This is what vision is about. We cannot continue the traditional course of yesteryear and believe that we're going to be able to move at breakneck speeds into the future. That will not happen. It will not happen. You are still dealing with a choo-choo train mindset. And there is aerodynamic bullet trains that are going almost 1,000 miles an hour underground. And you're still having a concept about where we can get coal from for our train. You are wilding out. And this is the government that continues to be able to say, and I'm not just talking about the PLP, I'm talking about the PLP and the FNM. Predominantly same mindset that they this continue to regurgitate and give to the Bahamian people. Nothing fresh, nothing new, nothing innovative, nothing that stands out. It's just the same old malarkey by the juggernauts of yesterday who don't have the vision to say this is where the country needs to go. And we stuck with this. We stuck with this. I got to deal with this. I don't even get involved in politics. How y'all can put this thing in the back of my house and then you can talk about it? Well, we can figure out how to deal with the siren. Now I can't sleep. I didn't work 12 hours today. This is a lack of vision. And if you even come with this concept to say that we're going to do it here, at least incorporate and cast a vision of how you can be able to deal with these things. Cast a vision. You just come there, hey, we can put it here, eh? You have no vision that you could cast to the Bahamian people to even talk about something as simple as the sirens. That is the simplest thing to deal with. Simple. All you got to do is put sensors on the siren, put sensors in the environment, 2.5 or a half a mile before you be able to reach the area, more specifically, as the ambulances pass and they pass the sirens, it cuts off. Come on, man. This is simple stuff. This is simple. This technology is not being created. It's already here. But you don't know about that because the only thing that you can see is what's been done in 1965. What did they do in 1954? And you separate yourself entirely from what exists here to be able to see comfort and exponential movement towards the future. Let me take this commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
Foundation. You hear what Boss Man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool.
I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying palm out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still got to pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that premium benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit.
And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we got to do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIBRateIncrease.com.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road too.
Praise the Lord. It's about time.
I live Fox Hill, and Fire Trail, it's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back. Let me go straight to the telephone lines. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
How are you, man?
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
Yeah, man. I finally get a hold of you.
Praise God.
They're talking about that hospital thing, right?
Yes, sir. Turn your radio down.
The first thing ran across my mind, when they demolitioned the post office, why did they give that property to the embassy rather than containing all that property and advance the hospital?
Heavy what you're saying. Heavy.
The first time I saw that, they keep talking about advancing the hospital. They had all the property available to them and they let it go. All they had to do is send the hospital. They already got that part there and then refurbish.
Heavy what you're saying.
I mean, where the post office was, that was
yeah.
That
yeah.
The demolition, they destroyed the post office, and the embassy now has got the property. They could have had all that property right next to the barracks.
The accommodation of those that you identify as superior is more important than the accommodation of your people. It's just what it seems like. I just want to be as decent as possible as I say that.
Yeah, I understand.
We understand business is business in this country, but there's no vision for our people. And this ain't no FNM, PLP, this is all of them.
Oh, no, ain't no, this ain't got no name.
Ain't no name to this.
No.
They don't care enough about us to be able to make a plan for tomorrow.
Well, Howard, many times I suggested, by because of action in our country, the worst thing you could be in the Bahamas is a Bahamian.
My God, you're doing a lot. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother.
Anyway, I can link up with you one time off the show.
Okay, no problem, my brother. You got my numbers. Thanks for the call. You give me a call, guys. 323-622-325-4316. 325-425-9. 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I just want to shoot straight with you. This has nothing to do with the FNM or the PLP. There is a very clear, evident line that runs right through this country. It's thick. It is almost like a steel wire fortified by generations of incompetency, laid on top of each other, welded, and running right through our country. This line of politics, that one man and one woman that continue to bound this line and become stronger and stronger in ignorance, in lack of vision. That's what our politics has become. That's what the politics has become. I hate to say the first dispensation of black politics in this country was the strongest. It has become extremely watered down and lacking vision. But that is not the concept and idea of what liberation and education should have done for us. Independence should have empowered us. It has given us another reason to segregate. And our segregation has led us to economic segregation. Come on, man. I just said, yo, let's talk, man. Yo, stop playing. Let's talk with this thing. Our segregation, because you thought that, the white people thought they were superior. Now we're separating ourselves. You don't even realize that you separate yourself from economics, one. And the empowerment of education have only taught you one thing. My grandma used to say this to me, and I never, me no row but this, because I love my grandma. We used to talk heavy. My grandma is a traditionalist. And she would say, baby, I hear what you're saying. You got to sometimes, but you got to kiss it before you can kick it. And that's not how she said it, because you get the picture. But I was confused. I said, Grammy, for generations you've been kissing it while your lips protrude. Huh? While your lips of the Bahamian people continue to protrude, and there is a vein that runs through it, pulsating on a consistent basis, eager. As a knee-jerk reaction, you just pucker up every single time because this is what you've been taught, to kiss it, and your feet are webbed. You've never taken a stand. You ain't kicked nothing, and you ain't even stand. This is the Bahama land that we live in. And generation after generation, one dispensation after another, continue to be able to choose and identify incompetence in leadership. This is incompetence. This is a lack of understanding and casting a vision for the future for the Bahamian people. That's just what I want to be. As simple as an opportunity to be able to empower Bahamian people, you reject them at every course. And then we understand something, as I get back to this, we understand one thing for certain. I don't care how you feel about the lighter hue, because they know themselves, because they know their name, because they know where their wealth has come from, because they know their access, because they know their talents, because they know their strengths, you can't run over them. You can't. You thought you could when you went to Spanish Wells and tell the boat you could come here and tell the people to walk around. They tell you, no way that ain't happening here. No, brother. You ain't bringing no boat around here. And you say, okay, no, I'm sorry. And that day, you turn it around. Listen, y'all then push gasoline on us from Marathon. The allegations were thick, rich, far, and wide. No one deal with that. You then push issues from Borco. The allegations are thick, rich, far, and wide. No one dealing with that. You have given the Bahamian people anything, FNM and PLP. You have created a space where illegal migration has expanded significantly. And all Bahamian people try to do is get away from the noise of disorder and try to find a space that they could educate the next generation, to teach their children. With the money that we make, we sacrifice to pour into our children and put them behind this wall. Now you and bring this big thing in the front of it. Man, come on, man. When will it be the Bahamian people time? When? When will it be our time? When will you consider that you're creating legislation, that you're creating laws, that you're creating a path for the empowerment of the people that put you in office? When? Just talk. Let's just talk. Let's be decent. When? Telephone call. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Call on the line.
Can you hear me, sir?
Hey, yes, sir. Go ahead.
My highlight yesterday on your show, I must point out first that soda biscuit joke was the best.
Oh, the soda joke. Yes.
Yeah, man. You need to play that again.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you,
Howard,
man.
I don't know any Caucasian who would allow you to slap one side of his face off and then you can turn the other cheek and say, slap that one off.
Well, they did tell us it's one Caucasian. And then now, Putin tell us that Caucasian is not really a Caucasian. He was a black man. That's Jesus.
Yeah, okay, no, but you're going to miss my point.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to fight you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was taught when I went to church, reading from a book that when a man named James, who actually, I should say, he slaughtered his mother. And he watched it happen. I don't know if you know the history about King James and what happened to his mother in his presence, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why we are taught to, if you hit me on one side of my face, you should turn the other cheek. I don't know no white man who can let you do that. But we were taught to do that. And this decoy about where to put the hospital is not the real story. The Prime Minister simply said that we have an explosion in birth rates. And when you get a chance, do research. Maybe you can ask Dr. Sands or any buddy who deal with taking care of babies and bringing them in. How many babies are being born to people with the name of Smith or Sands?
That's all I say.
They
can fight me and tell me, Howard, it is not so. Don't speak like that. And I'm telling you, based upon the geographical location, based upon the information in all the internet, that when you live in the proximity of people such as those from the South, and in Bailey's, the surrounding environments, this causes an increase in birth rate in your environment, illegal migration. But ain't nobody want to talk about that.
We are building a hospital for these people from Belize to have babies. We're facilitating them. And that's the whole idea. And I think it's because of an international pressure that's being put on these puppet people we get to lead us.
This
or they're
heavy.
Getting paid to do it.
This is heavy what you're saying, my brother.
Howard, you need to do the research. Have you ever used... No, then I'm going to expose myself. But have you ever used back orifice?
Yes.
Never heard of it before. Hey.
I can go look it up today. Back office?
Orifice.
Orifice.
It's a software that I can put on your computer, and then it will report to me everything that you do.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill Gates can have a little workaround pretty soon, but yeah, it's used through a PowerShell. See, that's why the cell phone that I'm using, Howard, it's registered to someone who's deceased. Because I do know that I cannot turn it off because it has a CMOS chip in it that's always on, and the people who make the cell phone, who have the patent for the phone, can always turn it on. You didn't know that, eh, Howard?
I didn't know this. You're giving me, you're schooling me. This a BlackBerry you got?
I ain't got no berry. The only berry I have is my lady. But, Howard, you must understand how this technology is working today. Inside
your
computer, there's a battery that keeps the memory up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that when you turn it on again, all the files will still show up again because you don't lose your memory from your RAM, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It isn't like you have to put the information in and get again. It's being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being hosted and being saved. So that's why you call it RAM. You know, random access, and it's being saved. So the same thing with the cell phone. I think the cell phone has a CMOS chip in it, and the persons who make the cell phone can actually, well, you know, people in China have no privacy at all because of it. So
but
when
you
buy another
they
cell
know
phone,
that. This ain't no news to them. They know that.
Yeah.
When I went to China the other day, right off the top, I couldn't use my internet. I had to go and get the Express VPN.
Well, now even those who are using a virtual private network, the Chinese are still onto them. Especially if you're in China, because you see the thing is you're using their Chinese servers.
Wow.
Let's see Alan call in and explain to you how the Chinese are spying on their own citizens and how our governments around the world are sucking up to them because they want to be able to do the same thing.
I appreciate your call, my brother.
All right.
Thank you so much, man.
All right.
Thank you so much for your telephone call, guys. We are flat out of time, and to being able to talk about this, I just want to be as decent as possible as I talk like this to you. I just need you to understand something. This, when I start to talk to you about this, when I start to talk to you about Michael Pintard, when I start to talk to you about Brave Davis, when I start to talk to you about Dr. Minnis in this particular capacity, when I start to talk about the fact that whatever leader is going to lead us in 2026 has to have conviction to stand strong. And you fight me. You fight me when I bring up Dr. San's name and start to talk about how chairmen should be able to have at least an understanding and cast a vision for the expectation or the trajectory that this course, this party, for this dispensation will take. We're hearing none of that. We're hearing absolutely none of that from anyone. No one. Who's saying anything? Who is saying anything from a political standpoint about the vision and the course that they need to be able to take for the country? Who's saying anything? From which leader is talking with conviction to say that the Bahamian people needs true empowerment and an opportunity to be able to own something for themselves? Who's saying anything? Who's saying anything? Why should we be content with the concept and idea of being able to attain solely a service lot? Who's talking like this? Why? Why are we content and not requiring more of our leaders? Why? Why don't we expect them to have a backbone? Why? Well, you know, well, boy, Howard, that's how things is. Sometimes if you walk up a door, my God! If Randall Fuchs was here, if he was here and he'd seen how so many brothers and sisters post-education have become even weaker as a result of the education, he would roll over in his grave and say, my God, I should have taken that million. I should have taken that blank check for the allegations that continue to be able to float. The sacrifices that our men and women of yesteryear have made for us wasn't for us to become less than them. We're not moving in principle. Greater works than these you should also do. That's a principle. That's in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That God reigns on the just and the unjust. And greater works than these you should also do. We are not doing greater. We got to do better than this and stand for something. It's time for us to be able to do it, guys. I appreciate the opportunities for to be able to talk with you. Tomorrow, we're going to be able to dive into it for Small Business Thursday. And on Friday, I should be able to have my good friend Garth in here. F&Ms, you all ain't coming in here and telling us about your plan for the future. You ain't coming in here and telling us about the course that you can take. This is your time to be able to have a conversation. Oh, but you're content. You're trying to be able to call all of these people. Come cast your vision. And say what we could expect come 2026 if you find yourself in victory. Guys, that's the show today. That's the foundation. I want to thank you guys for being able to join in. If you want to be a part of it, I think I had maybe one or two slots available tomorrow. 827-0111, 827-0111. That's the show, the foundation. I'll see you tomorrow. Godspeed right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, the Ministry of Tourism, the National Insurance Board, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
The Foundation.